have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Thanks for listening to this week's Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda. I'm without my co-host, Neil Smith. And because of all the feedback from the community listening to our new Social Media Church Basics course, we're releasing session 2 of the course, the full uncut version. It's about getting to know Facebook. So if you want the full course, it's $50 at socialmediachurch.university. Six sessions, tons of content. There's going to be some things in this session that maybe you're probably expecting to see a screen. You can get all the screen stuff and all that. We just want to give you a special preview of it by the uncut version. This is going to be 40 minutes of content. And so thanks for all the great feedback. Thanks for tweeting us, sharing, and engaging on the course. Again, if you want to buy the full course, go to socialmediachurch.university. There's also links to the full, directly to the course in the show notes. So here you go. Welcome back to Social Media Church Basic. I am your co-host, Jay Cranda, and I'm with Neil Smith. And we are talking about getting to know Facebook. If you don't know what Facebook is, put your hand up to your face and then somebody will come along and hit you. But no.
Is that what it is, Jay?
Yeah, no. I always think of The Office, Jim Halpert coming to the Halloween party, and he didn't have a costume, so he just put face. No, he put book on in between his nose, and he was Facebook on his face. It's a great bit.
Yeah. I think of the Social Report. It's not, what is it? What's the movie, The Social Network?
The Social Network. Yeah. And it makes me feel like I had a terrible, like I wasted money in college when I see that.
Yeah.
So getting to know Facebook, some stats just to kind of set us up a little bit. There's over 1.5 billion active users. That's 1 billion logins daily. 1 billion with a B. There's like 7 billion people on the earth. 1 billion logins a day. It's nuts. It's nuts. 4.5 billion likes a day. 4.5 billion likes. People going in and saying that they're working with content liking. 1.3 billion mobile active users, people on their phones. The ages between 25 and 34 represent 29.7% of users. That means there's a huge demographic between 25 and 34, like prime people, advertising like gold mine that people want to engage and lock in for life that are using the platform. And then 30 million photos uploaded daily. And I love this stat is over the average time people spend on Facebook, 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes. Do you spend 20 minutes a day on Facebook?
I'd be willing to bet that I spend 20 minutes a day on Facebook.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I constantly have the scroll kind of mentality. So,
and I'd be willing to bet that my mother-in-law spends 2 hours a day on Facebook, but I'm guessing she's not watching this course. I can pick on her.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell her that she's in the course so that she'll watch it. And maybe she'll comment below, but there's a lot of people, Jay, you and I know this, there's a lot of people that, for the people that spend 2 minutes a day, that are spending 2 hours a day to offset them. And so, you know, the sites of a website, our church website, the average person spends about 3 minutes on the website, and that's pretty good. Yeah. Facebook is getting 20 minutes a day. It's unbelievable. There's nothing like it, you know, in the history of the internet that has seen the kind of engagement and traffic that Facebook gets.
It's nuts. And ultimately, again, with Facebook, what we want to do in this session is that we want to preview and kind of demo some of the basic stuff so that you're aware how to navigate around and how to engage. And so ultimately, we're taking slow steps, crawl, walk, run, to ultimately, you're not ready to run yet, but we're getting you ready. And so with that, let's kind of dive into Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do a little bit of a demo here to kind of show you. So one of the things that you'll notice with Facebook is if you go to facebook.com, the first thing that you're going to be triggered to do is create a profile. And what a profile is, it's that it's pretty much your personal presence. It's your own personal page on Facebook. So if people go to facebook.com/jcranda, they're going to see my profile. And it's you can think of it long ago, it used to be presented as your resume or your personal page. Really, what your profile is, your own private space that you get to represent who you are. You get the choice to either lock this down so nobody sees it, or you can make it public. Most of who I am online is very public. So for example, if anybody goes to facebook.com/jcranda, anybody can see anything because I've chosen the privacy setting. I want that. If you choose to lock it down, if you're a private person, you can make it hidden. All social accounts now have that feature built in. So privacy shouldn't be a fear anymore because you get to choose that if you want friends to see it, if you want friends to see it, or if you want nobody to see it, you have that choice to control it. So profile. So let's kind of show you a little bit how this works. And so with the profile, kind of the basic things you need to be aware of, you have a profile image. And what a profile image is, that this is what people see when they associate a post. So for example, we're going to get to this in a couple moments here, the news feed. But with everything I post, you're going to see my profile pic show up. So you're going to see a photo. It's going to be a square photo. And then you're going to see a name. And so you're going to see this photo carries with all my content. And so it's really important to get a profile pic that represents you. And so I have it's actually funny if you see my profile pics over the years. Scared me. A little cup. You can just see like different, you know, it's kind of funny. You see the evolution of who you are a little bit as you've uploaded different things. I'm constantly changing my profile, but I've landed on this. I definitely think you'll learn a lot. Like if I were to go back into like the archives of everything I've done, you can see, let's look at my, like the first profile pic I ever uploaded. That would be, really discouraging. Look at this. Yeah. This is the first one I ever uploaded. Me and my wife are engagement photos. So, and then it came to this anyways. So, but you need to pick a profile, that represents who you are, put yourself in it, and so forth. But I think it's pretty straightforward. Then on your personal profile, you have a cover photo. This is usually a rectangle photo. You can hover over, you can change it. I've had a bunch of different cover photos. This is actually one of my favorites, me and my son. But the idea is that when they land, you have two photos that kind of get to represent your identity. So obviously a big part of my identity is my kids. I want people to know I'm a dad. That's a big, you know, my sons are very important to me. So I have this photo. I love this photo because it just brings, it kind of represents different parts of them. So when you're getting your profile set up, think about a profile pic and a cover photo. And usually your profile pic is just going to be a photo of you. And then your cover pic could be your family. Maybe it's a place, a vacation spot. It's cool with ministry, with your cover photo and your profile pic, you have the opportunity to do different ministry focuses. So I know a lot of churches, for campaigns and things, what they'll do is they use your profile pic. Maybe you can put an image of your church's logo, or maybe, hey, you're invited to Christmas or Easter. It's a great advertising space seasonally. I wouldn't do it continually, but seasonally you can highlight that. So with the profile, what you also get to do is you kind of have these tabs right here, and you have a timeline, and your timeline is pretty much where all your posts show up. It's kind of it's your own personal feed. About, you get the opportunity to upload and kind of feature different parts of who you are. Friends, you get to obviously control who your friends are, and Facebook will aggregate this in different ways, the college and so forth. Then you photos. And then ultimately you have a more section, and this is where you can kind of go into different things and apps that you've given access. But don't worry about the more section right now. That's kind of for advance. And so really what I want to focus on is what you're going to spend the majority of your time looking at is how to update. And I think this is really important. Facebook gives you a couple different ways to post. And so essentially what you need to do is get your profile set up, and then you're going to start requesting people to be friends with you. And what happens is when you request people to be friends with you, when you post status updates, this status update will go out to your friends. Now, when you post, you're going to have an opportunity to make it public. Maybe you just want your friends to see it, or only you. I have no idea why you want to use the only you. I have no idea. This, the only you, is for like bomb shelter people. Okay. So if you're a bomb shelter person, don't leave the bomb shelter. Don't even go on Facebook. Okay. But for most of you, what you probably want to worry about is public and friends. And what public means is that if they land on your profile and they're not friends with you, they're able to see the post. For friends, that means only friends will be able to see this content. I think the friends feature is a great feature if you're worried about your content being seen by other people, because you can control that access. But you're able to upload text. You could type it and you post it. That means it goes and your friends can see it. You could upload video or a photo. You can focus a live event and so forth. You also, when you post things, you do have the ability on the lower right-hand side, there'll be a drop-down. You have the ability to edit a post. So if you misspell something, you also have the ability to add a location. You can delete it, or you can hide from timeline. Hide from timeline just means that if people go back on your profile, they will no longer see it. And so there's definitely ways. So as I navigate down, what I see on my personal profile is different things I've posted historically. And so I see different things that that I've done. Also, people have the ability, my friends can tag me and ask me a question. They can post on my wall. And so the profile is a great way to, you know, you can just see what has been done over the last couple months, and in my case, years. And so what the only other thing I want to do before Niels talks about page and is I want to kind of just talk about the basic navigation as we get started. And so the profile is linked to this up here. This is your profile. And if I click on my profile image up at the top, the upper right, is that this is, at any point, if I get lost, I can always go back to my section. And then I have, on the right, I can see different organizations, pages that I'm part of. I can manage, I can see all the pages that maybe I'm associated with. This is very advanced, but I'm just letting you know that how to get around. You can change settings. At any point, I would take some time exploring these things. You can definitely see, you don't need to dive into it right now. This world icon is notifications. You can see different pages that you like. A friend of mine, Jimmy, is launching a church, and I was interested. He posted a video, so I'm looking at that, and you can see different things that people tag you. This will go red anytime somebody tags you in something, or that something that you maybe have chosen to get notified on. This group, this kind of image here, is the different people that have private messages in you. And then here is ultimately people who have requested to be your friend. So like Haley, I do not know Haley, so I'm going to delete that friend request. I don't want to be friends with her. I'm sorry if you're listening to this right now or watching this. And then home. Home is your news feed. And so Niels, before you talk about page, let's talk a little bit about the news feed, because news feed is ultimately where everything your friends are showing up real time, and you have the ability to like, comment, and engage, and then ultimately see a lot of any other things. What are some things before you start diving into page that you think people should know about the news feed?
You know, I think the newsfeed is the most important aspect of Facebook, and a lot of people that jump into it don't realize that that it is determining what they see and what they're engaging with without them realizing that it's through the newsfeed that their posts are taking place. So we spend a lot of time setting up our profiles or setting up our pages or our groups as if everyone is going to those platforms, but the reality is they're most likely seeing that content in the newsfeed. And so Facebook's secret sauce is the complex algorithm that they've created for each of us to have a unique newsfeed. So based on the things that we like, the things that we comment on, things that our friends like, things that our friends comment on, they're creating, you know, what they believe to be the most interesting content for us to see in our newsfeed. And the truth is, that's why it's so addictive, because Facebook has really kind of gotten into the psychology of what we like, that we're like, man, I go here and I just find all these interesting videos or these interesting stories or what my friends are doing. But the reality is they're kind of pulling out the uninteresting things based on, you know, if something didn't get very many likes, they're not going to keep showing it to people because people aren't interested in it. So understanding the newsfeed a little bit is really the power behind how you can really grow your social media presence. And so what happened for us at Community Bible Church is that as we began to post things like come to church, that's not interesting, but we began to post a Bible verse. A lot of people liked that. A lot of people shared that. A lot of people commented on it because it was more interesting. It was inspiring to them. And as Facebook saw that a lot of people were liking it, they showed it to more people. And so our platform began to grow at a much faster rate. So that news feed is such a powerful aspect of Facebook. Any other thoughts for you on the news feed?
Yeah, I think big things that you're going to see as you're experimenting and you're kind of navigating around is with the news feed. Like you said, it's how people consume your content. I think every time I look at the data, and you're going to dive into this with pages, is that, you know, I always notice it's anywhere between 1-3% actually consume the data on your individual page. Most of the time your content's being consumed in the feed. Things that I love about it that you're going to start noticing as you're experimenting and using it more and more is the trending. I think trending is so much fun. This is that section right here. The trending section is definitely, it's targeted for your geolocation and different things you like. So, you know, it was actually like, there was a church in our area over the weekend that is, there was a pastor that actually got in some trouble with the law, and it was number one trending. And I was actually worried for a second because it said Lake Forest. And I was like, wait, is that trending all on Facebook or is that trending just in my area? And it was trending just in my area. And what I love is I've seen the slow progression over the last kind of 6 months to 8 months of a lot of my media that I find out about different things is through my newsfeed. And yep. We're going to talk about Twitter as well. Twitter has moments now and the same type of idea that I find out about things. And so there's definitely, obviously Facebook wants to be just like, Amazon is the everything store. Facebook wants to be the everything internet almost, you know, pretty much. And they're trying to keep you there. You can see in mine, I'm a Laker fan. So it's telling me that today's games, I did not set this up. Facebook has assumed that I want to know about the Laker game and how the Lakers are going to lose this game. But regardless of the fact, but I think for you, what you just got to be thinking about is ultimately most people are seeing your content through a scroll. This is how they're seeing it. And so you're trying to get people to stop and see your content. And if you can get them to stop, you have the opportunity to encourage them in their day. And I think you can't forget, as most people, they're working in a job, they're busy, they're chaotic, they got kids at home, they're married, they got 1,000 things on their mind. And if you can get them in the midst as they're checking out a sports update or reading about something or seeing a photo, maybe you can encourage them and encourage them to encounter God in that moment. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do as a ministry, as a church, as an organization. We're trying to get them to take a next step. And so you can see as we're sitting here, I got a notification. I mean, something that I like or I engaged on responded. And I love about this because it allows me to not necessarily be on every page or everything I comment. It lets me know what's important. I can choose to engage or not. So that's all I have. Let's, Niels, why don't you share a little bit about the page. What is the page?
Well, and before I jump into pages, I got to say something, Jay, that was meaningful to me is that at the top of your friends list was me. And so that meant a lot to me to see that I am your number one friend.
Yeah, that was Photoshop.
Facebook knows it. And so Facebook is so smart to know that I'm your number one friend.
Twitter probably thinks we're enemies by the tone. But anyways.
Twitter's not as smart as Facebook.
It's not.
So Facebook continues to get better every day. So I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to talk a little bit more about pages. And so here we go. Can you see my Facebook screen here?
Oh, yes, I can.
So one thing that was that I do want to mention before I jump
in. I can see what you've recently downloaded too, which is great. Can I have those links?
You can see a Jason Kasten photo and a Kenny Jang photo from the online church leaders course is down there at the bottom. That's awesome. Okay. So over here on the right-hand side before we jump into pages is I think one of the most powerful ministry opportunities we have is Facebook tells you whose birthday it is. And so you can see this list of here. And so you just can jump in here and just say happy birthday without going to their wall or going anywhere. And so I think one of the best things to do every day as you get on as a ministry leader is to say happy birthday, to your Facebook friends. Facebook is about relationships. Ministry is about relationships. I believe the best relationships we make are person to person, not organization to person. And so as a church leader, I think your profile is the most important aspect. But we end up spending a lot more time on the page. So I'm going to talk about the page. I do think it's incredibly important for your church organizationally and publicly in your community. But I can't emphasize enough that your profile is the most important ministry tool that you have to connect and engage with those in your community, those in your church, on a very personal level. So anyways, I want to say that before I jump into the page. One of the things on Facebook that you want to learn is the power of search. And so, you know, when you go to find anything, you can just search it right there at the top and then find it. I'm going to go to the Community Bible Church Facebook page. And this is for our Gold Canyon campus, which is our, you know, our initial large kind of broadcast campus. They're a Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas. And so I want to point out some features. One of the main things, though, about a page is that as a profile, you can create a lot of privacy settings and based on your comfort level. A page is completely public. Your page is almost like your church website. And so everything you post on your page, everyone can see and everyone can interact with. And so there are not privacy options for a page. So that is important to know as you set up your page. So just like Jay set up in the profile setup, you have the same thing with your page. You have a profile picture and then you have this banner image. One of the important things to note with your profile image is that this is what people will see when they see a post in their newsfeed. And so only about 5% of the people that like your page ever actually come back to your page. So they don't see it looking like this. You do when you go to look at it and work on it. What they do is they see these posts down here. And so what's important is that your profile image looks consistent in each of those posts. So they begin to make a mental connection between that profile image and all the posts they see in the newsfeed. So when they see a new post, they have a connection like, oh yeah, that's that church or that's, you know, that organization. And so you want to have a profile image that represents you well. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do is don't change that a lot. A lot of churches get antsy to like, oh, we got a new thing coming up. Let's change our profile image. You don't want to do that. You want to keep a uniform profile image that maybe you change quarterly or twice a year, but you want to keep it, you know, primarily your church logo, or maybe a picture of your church building or worship center, but something, an image that represents your church well, so when people see that, they connect it with your church.
And Niels, your church right now is doing something. So you use that space strategically with the 25, right? Like I even see that in the logo, you know, right at this moment.
Yeah, so it's our 25th year anniversary as a church, and so we have been all around the community. We're trying to make that connection. You know, we're highlighting it. We've got kind of a big banner outside, or you know, one of those digital signs, and so we have that on there. We have it on our website. So this is a rarity. Normally, you would just see the little icon, our little icon as our profile image. We changed it about 6 months ago. After January, you know, January 1 is when we'll be changing it back. We strategically are thinking about it months in advance when we change that profile image, because when we change it, we're not going to change it again for a while. And so we want to have a connection between that and our website and all of our other social media platforms. And so that visual is probably the most important visual of your page. This banner image is important. One of the things I would recommend is don't change that regularly. This is for people that are coming that are liking your page for the first time and checking you out, but people aren't coming back to your page to check it out. So you don't need to change it regularly. You want to have a pretty consistent image that represents your church well publicly as people are checking you out. But it doesn't need to be something that's changing all the time because your members aren't going to that page and looking for it. They're mostly just seeing your content in the newsfeed. One of the other important functions of a Facebook page is you have a unique call to action button. Just like I shared before, a call to action button doesn't... a lot of people don't go to your page specifically. They see this stuff in the newsfeed. So that call to action button, you should be thinking about a first-time guest. So what they might want to see, we have a watch video, which gives kind of a welcome video to our church that we use there. You can, you know, use other calls to action there. And then the other function is this message button where people can click that message button and they can, it's basically like a comment box for your church or on your church website where people can send you a message. We leave that on. A lot of churches choose to leave that off. If you are not keeping up with those messages and responding to those, please turn it off. Don't allow people to send you messages and not respond. But if you do have the ability to respond to those messages, I really, and if you can, I would, turn that on and allow people to send you messages. So as people might have questions about your church or what you believe or whatever the question might be, they have that opportunity to send you a message, and you're actively monitoring those and messaging them back. And so as you have those interactions, that's organization to the person. So that's not you personally responding to those people. They, when they see the message in their box back to them, they're seeing Community Bible Church. They're seeing the organization replying back to them. And you might even, if you want to personalize it, you can leave your name at the bottom of the message. So moving on, as you begin to set up your page, you'll set up the About section. You want to make sure that you fill this in as much as possible. Facebook will walk you through each of the steps about your church as far as putting in the address, putting in your website. Make sure you fill in that about information, especially from a first-time guest perspective, as much as possible, and get as much information in that About section that people might be interested in seeing as they begin to engage with you on Facebook. And then kind of the final aspect to the page is what you say, what you're engaging people with in your community, the people that follow you. I think it's important to note that maybe 5 to 10% of people that like your page see each post. And so I think it's unrealistic to expect that everybody sees every post. They say that each post has about a length of about 3 to 5 hours that Facebook is showing it in the newsfeed based on how many people are liking it or commenting on it. And so you don't have to feel like, okay, I only want to post once a week because I want people to see these posts. You can post 3 to 5 times a day if you have enough content to post, but you want to be consistently posting from your page with new information, inspiring content. And so just like your profile, you can post different posts, like a status, like a photo or a video, or an offer or an event. And so if you have we have Christmas services coming up at the church, and so we would create an event for that and post information about that event. The other interesting option we have here to put are some unique targeting functions. And so if you want to target individuals and narrow down your audience, so maybe you have a youth event coming up and you want to target it to that age group, or you have a young adult event, and I could target in that age group. It says 13 to 65. So I might say we want to cap it at 25. We're going to do 18 to 25. So because Facebook has that demographic information, we know that there are 4,700 young adults between 18 and 25 that like our page, and we could target it even more if we wanted to. So Facebook has some really unique targeting options when it comes to the post to your page. And then we're going to get into this more later, but one of people's favorite opportunities on Facebook and understanding with their page is this schedule button. Most people don't even realize that it exists. But as you go to post things on Facebook, you can actually say, you know what, I want to post this on Saturday. And I want to do it at 12:22 a.m. and I could hit schedule, and then that post would go up at 12:22 a.m. on Saturday. And so I don't have to get on, every day or multiple times each day to post. I can schedule my post in advance. Jay, I felt like at the last conference I was attending, as I shared that information, there was a guy in the third row that got so excited. I thought he might come and kiss me on the mouth. So excited about the time he was going to save. And he was like, I can leave the conference now because I know about Facebook's schedule button. That is such a time saver. The other thing that I want to say about, and we're going to talk about some management tools later, but we have found that with Facebook specifically and with our pages, when we post natively and on Facebook.com or within the Facebook app, content to the page, it gets significantly more engagement or showtime in the newsfeed than if we are posting links, especially when it comes to video. So if we upload a video directly to Facebook rather than linking a YouTube video or some other, or a Vimeo video on Facebook, those don't get nearly the views that if we did one directly into Facebook. So that's a really important aspect of using Facebook at Facebook.com or on your app when it comes to engaging content.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you're hearing us talk about
content and all this and how to schedule. Don't worry, we have whole sessions focused on this, on this basic course, talking about how to create content, how to do all this. Video for sure. I think Facebook is engaging more and more, both in live video and leveraging their video integration in a big way. And I think a lot of churches and ministries need to start thinking about, okay, you got a 30-minute message. How can you cut that up into 1 to 2 minute bites and maybe, you know, parse that out over a course of 5 days to kind of highlight that? I think, again, it's even with video in the news stream, you know, they have this, the new feature where you scroll and you see the video, it plays, but it's auto muted. And they're trying to think about, you know, how do I get them to click on it? And so I think we're going to talk about that in creating video and for your social media, about how to optimize that in a session coming up. But with that, I just want to talk about one more thing.
And Jay, I think this is, you know, the most under, what you're about to talk about, the most underutilized part of Facebook. So we've talked about kind of your personal platform and our personal profile where you interact personally with people. I just talked about the organizational platform where you're kind of communicating publicly. But what you're about to talk about is the most underutilized aspect of Facebook, especially when it comes to churches. And so I'm really excited for you to share now about groups.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things that people don't realize that, okay, so with this, so a Facebook page is definitely your public presence. Groups become one of those ways to organize different ministries and organizations and different things. Maybe you want to have a private conversation. So with a group, what I love about group is that you can go to, you can see variety of different groups that you're, maybe you don't realize you're a part of, or your Facebook is saying that you might be interested in. Apparently they're saying I might be interested in Metal for Christ, which is
interesting.
Yeah. The Lakers game. I like this. And so you can create a group. You can see your groups. One of the easiest ways to kind of navigate to your groups, if you're already part of it, is down here on the left. You have groups that you're associated with. So I can go more and I can see all the groups I'm part of. So I'm going to show you one of my groups to kind of see how it's already up. Online Campus Community Leaders. One of my core teams in my day-to-day job at Saddleback is caring for the 1,500 small groups that I'm responsible for. And the way we do that is that I have a volunteer role where I have people who are over 20 groups and I contact them monthly. And so I have a variety of volunteers that are help me out with that. And I have a Facebook group. And what I do with the group is that the group is you choose for a group to be private, closed, open. This is a invite only group. So I only want volunteers that I want to be part of this. And so the idea is that this is a private place where I get to post and share different things that I want my team to know about only. So it's kind of like it's like a meeting room that's only for the people I want to be in the room to have access to it. And so this content from a group shows in only the people's news feed that are part of the group. And so the idea is I'm able to give updates. I use my group as a kind of interactive email list. And so I actually, not all my volunteers are on Facebook, so some of them aren't, and I send an email. So I have this kind of protocol is that when I am going through an update that I want my team to know, I send out an email and then I post in the group feed. And then the group feed, I can post something out. We're doing different things. You can see my volunteers are interacting with different content. And so let's navigate. It's very familiar. Part of what you're going to notice with Facebook is that they use all very similar navigation guides. And so once you start get familiar with the profile, once you start get familiar with the page, groups and whatever other avenue on Facebook that you're going to be diving into, it's going to become easier and easier. And you're going to be kind of like, duh, I get this. And that's our hope at the end of this basic course is that, duh, you're going to get it. And it's going to be easy for you. And so you're going to see with a group, you have a header, a group photo. You don't have a profile image because it isn't an individual, it's a group. And so I chose to use actually Canvas, which we're going to talk about this. I created this in Canvas. And so it's a basic, I kind of highlight, I actually put on the image kind of the focus of the group, every online attender to host a group in their home. And I wanted people to know, my volunteers to know, that's what we want. And so in this, I have a discussion, I have list of members. I can choose on different members if I want to make them an admin or remove them from the group.
So again, this is a private place. And so as volunteers come and leave our team, I remove them from the group. And I use events. I do this all the time. I create an event. We have a monthly meeting that we do. And I create an event and I try to encourage people to RSVP for the event using this. And so it's an online event. And so people can RSVP. It's a great way, again, to kind of huddle around, to focus people, to get them around whatever you're trying to do. And so with that, and then we have files and different things. And then I just post like I would anywhere else. But the idea is that I'm only letting the people that are part of this group. And so what I want to encourage you to do is think about all the different ways you can leverage groups. So for me, I have a couple different ways. I have my core volunteer team. I have another group that's all my small group hosts at Saddleback. So I have one group that's for 40 people. I have another group that's for, you know, 1,300 people. And I would even encourage you, maybe there's some ministries that can have groups. Yeah. And so the question is, does your ministry or your church or whatever type of organization that you're doing, does it need to be a Facebook page or does it need to be a group? And the question is, does it need to be a private conversation or a public conversation? And I see a lot of churches moving towards this, that they have one large Facebook page, but all the ministries have groups. Maybe some of the larger ministries have Facebook page and some of the sub ministries have groups. And what I love about what groups do is it allows kind of your public presence not to be so diluted, is that maybe you just have one Facebook page and then groups become one of those kind of ways you can branch out from the trees, you know, from underneath, so that you can have more of an integration. But groups are very good for a lot of private interaction. You see a lot of ministries. We love it. Facebook pages for small groups. We encourage all of our small groups to have their own private group so that they can interact during the week. There's so much you can do with groups. There's so many things, ways to leverage this in wise ways. You can do small groups online very easily with groups. We don't want to get into that, but there's so much you can do. What are some things before we end here, Niels? What are some other ways that you think that? What would you add onto this conversation about
groups? Yeah, I think as you expand your Facebook presence, you know, you start with your profile, you build your public, you know, platform with the page. But groups is where you just continue to grow and develop as you get more and more comfortable with Facebook. So I think about every ministry team, you know, so you might have your greeters that have, you know, their own Facebook group, or then I think about every Sunday school class or small group should have their own. And I think it's a great opportunity for like community really to happen 24/7. So I think about a small group where people gather once a week, but they're already sharing prayer requests throughout the week and praying for them, or they're sharing, you know, life highlights, or even just things that are going on, so that when they're there face to face, they can maximize that FaceTime. So they're not like, hey, what happened during the week? Well, we already know what happened during the week because we've been interacting all week in this Facebook group. I think a mission teams, you know, we do that at most of our mission teams at CBC, where before they're getting going on the trip, they're sharing prayer requests, they're sharing information. I read this about Jamaica, I learned this about the Jamaican culture, and you get to know each other. So that by the time you go on the trip, you kind of know each other pretty well. And then when you go on the trip, you share pictures, you share, you know, updates about what's happened, or I stay connected with this group. And it just is a great place to form community. And yeah, at a church, we're trying to build community and connect people with each other, connect them to God through community with each other. And so groups is at the core of how you deepen community on Facebook.
Yeah. And ultimately you're going to start seeing that people just connect with you that maybe you wouldn't regularly connect with. And I think that's the idea, that you don't necessarily need to get coffee or run into somebody at the supermarket, wherever it is, that Facebook is that avenue now that you can just bump into people. I have a friend, it's so funny, as we're doing this right now, I have a friend from high school that I hadn't seen in a very long time, and we started to connect through Facebook again. And look, as we're doing this, I get a notification that he mentioned me, and he's sharing this video of an alarm clock. So this is funny, and he's being playful. But what I love about this is that it allows me to have a conversation with him. Yeah. That, you know, he's actually a guy, Tanner's a friend of mine, who's exploring his faith. And he's somebody, he's got a lot of questions. And I can now, we have this casual connection that we can interact with. And I can joke about the alarm clock, but, you know, at the same way, it's a portal in. And this is what you got to think about. This is a starter conversation. That this is where you're starting that conversation with somebody. And if you build that presence wisely, if you think about how to leverage Facebook and groups and pages and so forth, now you can get people that maybe wouldn't stumble into your wall, your church building that Sunday, but maybe they might comment or like something on your page, and you know that they're there, and it reminds you, and therefore you can engage and take next steps. So I know we talked about a lot of different things. We talked about, like you said, the profile, the page, the groups. What we want to do right now is comment below and share a link to your church's Facebook page. Put your link to your church's Facebook page. If you don't have one yet, go and create it. And you can create your page by going to facebook.com/page, and you can go and you can create your own, your church's page. And so share it below. We want to see that. Other people want to see it. We want to share that. And so with that, create your page if you don't have it, but comment below, and we want to see that, and we're going to engage and check out what we're doing online and encourage each other.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for staying engaged and checking out the full second session of our Social Media Church Basics course. If you want the full course to get the videos and everything so you can see what we were talking about, and all the details, you can get all six sessions for only $50. And we share everything that we know. We poured our heart and soul into this. And Nils and I just took everything that we do in consulting, sharing everything in our churches, and we poured it into six very straightforward sessions. So go to socialmediachurch.university, and or you can click in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast, and tune in for next week for our next new show.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.